so good. I just feel as if somebody's here this morning. I just pick up and I feel such despair. And I want to tell you today that, you know what the Lord says to you today, that He loves you and that He is with you. And He's asking you today to lean on and to rest in Him, and He will carry you. So Father, I just thank You that right now that You'd refresh. Father, I just pray Your hand upon that heart, Lord, and upon that mind. I pray a renewal of the mind, Father, and for fresh eyes, Lord, to see You and to stand by. So Father, I pray, Lord, for fresh eyes, that You give them fresh eyes, Lord. Fresh vision, Father. A new hope and a peace that comes from You. I ask, Father, that that right now would come and just rest upon them, Lord. And Father, that You just remove the dust of hopelessness, Lord. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Father. Lift up, Father, and restore our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the title of my message this morning. Living for God begins with resting in Him. Living for God begins with resting in Him. And I know for many of us, when we talk about rest, the first thing that comes to mind, lack of rest. I can take it easy now. I can go on holiday and I can enjoy myself. You know what, eh? You can go on holiday. You can spend 3 weeks away. You can surf the waters and climb the mountains. You can come back. Are you not back a day? Yeah. You feel so tired. It feels like you've never been on holiday. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Yeah. I felt like that many a time. I want to ask you this morning, who wants revival? Yeah, that's the old church. We all want revival. We all want something new, and we all want something fresh from Jesus. Otherwise, if it's not, our walk with Him becomes stale. It gets old. And eventually we find ourselves, we come into that place where we're doing things just out of duty. It becomes a religious walk with Him. And Jesus doesn't want that for us. He wants us to live victoriously for Him. Living for God begins with resting in Him. I want to take you back and just a story that is very familiar. And that's the story of Israel, where God raises up Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, out of a place of slavery, out of a place of captivity. The nation cries out to God, and God gives them a word, and He gives them a promise that He's going to take them into the land of milk and honey. Wow! And for the Israelite nation, I believe that eventually that word became a means to an end for them. They didn't want anything in between. Lord, just take us out of this place and take us into the land flowing with milk and honey. And yes, that's what God wants for us. That nation grew up in a place of slavery. They were born there. And they adopted many things in their lives. Their thinking, their values, everything that they did, it was formed through that environment. They saw things. There were a lot of things happening around them, and they adapted those things. And through that environment in which they lived, when they eventually took the journey out of Egypt, sure, their hearts began to show. all the little nicks and notches that they carried in their hearts began to reveal. And they began to, those things began to expose themselves as they began to walk out that journey with our Lord. It was a walk of unbelief and a walk of disobedience. They come to the place where eventually they build this golden calf. They had the good news preached to them at Mount Sinai. And in the same way, we have the good news preached to us on a weekly and a daily basis. They heard the word of God. They heard the good news, but it did not profit them. Why? Because it was not united by faith, and they did not believe God at his word. The result of that was that they fell in the wilderness. And then God said through his word that they would not enter his rest. For me, that place, the land of milk and honey, for me, it's a picture of heaven on earth. It's on earth as it is in heaven. It's a place that the Lord promised to the nation of Israel. And I want to say to you today that there's a promise. There's a place that the Lord has promised for every one of us sitting here today. It's a place in the Spirit. And when we find ourselves walking in that place, when I'm in that place, God's word will become alive in my walk with him. It'll become life to me. In the natural, with Israel, it's a land where everything had been prepared for them, a place of abundance, peace, and God would bless them. How amazing it is that history has a way of repeating itself. Amen? History has a way of repeating itself. And we often read that story and we think, you know, we separate it. That's for the nation of Israel. It doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. It applies to each and every one of us sitting here this morning. God wants to prosper us. He wants us to find that place that he has prepared for us. And it's a place that can't be found by the works of the flesh, by the arm of the flesh. But it's a place that it will lead us into. When I'm living for God, it begins with resting in him. Let's turn to Exodus 10, verse 21. This is a story of the ninth plague, where the plagues that the Lord brought upon the Egyptian nation, because Pharaoh, through stubbornness, he wouldn't let God's people go. He wouldn't release them. He wouldn't let them go. And through these plagues, eventually he calls Moses in, and he says to Moses, "Moses, you know what? Okay, you can go." And this is Moses' reply. Verse 25, Exodus 10, verse 25. "But Moses said, 'You must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind.'" Our livestock must go with us, and not a hoof must be left behind. And I want to apply that to this. God takes us out of a rotten society. He takes us out of a place of slavery and out of captivity, as with Israel. But you know, like Moses said, that not a hoof is to be left behind. When the Lord Jesus Christ takes us out, he wants every part of your heart. He doesn't want a piece of it to stay behind in the old. He wants all of it to come in so he can take you into the land of promise, into the land of blessing, where his word will become alive in your life. Every part of our heart is to leave Egypt. Not even the roof is to be left behind. If part of our heart is left behind, let me tell you something what's going to happen. Pharaoh is going to come and he's going to want to take you back. When the Israelites left Egypt, it wasn't long. Pharaoh went out and he wanted to bring them back into a place of bondage. And that's what Satan does. When we leave part of us in the old, he knows and he can see it. And he comes straight away to take us back into the old place. We spend so much time in a system that robs us. We lose what really matters. We lose sight of God. And even in my own life, we get busy. I get busy at work. And you know what? It is so easy to get distracted and to fall in the old ways of doing things. And in this season, we need to be sharp. We need to come into a place where he is my everything. And I'll get to that now. Where he is, I belong to him. I belong to him. I'd been praying and I've been asking God, you know, we've seen a lot of moves of God in the church in the 80s and in the 90s. We saw an amazing move of God's Spirit in the body of Christ. There were many, many things that happened. Many things. And God's Spirit was on the move. It was moving in the midst of his people. And I said to the Lord a few weeks ago, Father, my walk with you, is it a walk out of duty? Or Lord, everything that I'm doing, am I playing church? I don't want my walk with him to be a walk back out of duty. I don't want it to become a religious thing. And I don't want it to become dry. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that for you. My place of rest, what does it look like? And I'm asking you this morning, your place of rest, what does it look like? What does your place of rest look like with Jesus? Are you in that place of rest? Or are you still in control, doing things your way? Or is Jesus just part of something that I do on a daily basis? He's an attachment. He's someone that I can run to in times of crises. The Lord doesn't want that. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. And he wants to saturate you and me with all of him. Let's turn to John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. Satan's job is to come and rob and to steal from you. But God wants you to walk in abundance this morning. When we're doing it through the arm of the flesh, when we leave God out of the equation, we get worn out, frustration comes, disappointment comes. When I lean on God, when I enter His rest, that's where I begin to enjoy my life in Him. That's where everything becomes real in my walk with Jesus. When I bring myself into a place of rest with Him. Hebrews 4:9-11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered this, his rest, has himself also ceased from the works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Wow. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The rest of God is not a rest from work, but it's to rest in work. And what does it mean to rest in work? It's when God's doing it on my behalf. It's a place where God's word lives. His promises are yes and amen. It's a place of peace, abundance, a place of trust in Him. The word ecclesia, the Greek translation, it talks of a called out assembly, and it's translated as the church. They are believers who God has called out of the world. Ecclesia, called out ones. Exodus 33:14-16. I'm going to read from verse 30. Now, this is Moses praying to God. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you. And that I may find grace in your sight and consider this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the face of the earth. God has called us to be different from all the people on the face of the earth. And what's that distinctive difference? What is that distinctive difference? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And Moses wouldn't move from that place until he knew that God was with him. Let's get to that place of rest. Let's get to that place where my walk with him, there's a distinctive difference between the outside world and me. If there is no difference to the outside world, and I just mellow in, and I'm part of what happens on a daily basis in my work situation, around the braai, then we seriously need to look long and hard at my walk with him. How do I find that rest? Worship, love, the word, and prayer. So in the worship, in the love, in the word, and in the prayer, where are those areas broken in your life? Where are those areas broken in your life? What are the gaps in your walk with Jesus? Is it the worship? Is it the love? Not spending enough time in his word, and I'm not praying. Do you watch TV? I know you're not going to put up your hands now. Every now and again, yeah, we do. There's that, I think it's a Cadbury's chocolate ad. The new ad that's on TV now with the two bubbles. Anne says, yeah. And then you got a lady in the one bubble and you got a man in the one, and the guy's got this bar of chocolate. And he comes around and eventually the one bubble pushes on the other. And he pushes on it and he tries to push this chocolate through. And as he pushes this chocolate through, boop, the two bubbles become one. That's how clever Satan is. Like those two bubbles press tightly on each other. And they become one. Be careful. Be diligent. Satan does that in our lives. Will we walk closely? We walk closely with Egypt. And you haven't separated yourself. It won't be long. And you'll look at your life. Where God brought separation, Satan's brought you back into that place where the two bubbles have become one. I want to ask you this morning, what is worship? Are there the songs we sing you on a Sunday morning? That is part of it. That's part of it. But what is true worship? What is true worship? These are some of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about. And I've been asking, Lord, how do I get into that place of rest with you? How do I get into that place of revival, where I'll see revival, where I will know you? Worship, a lifestyle of worship. Our worship needs to be real. It needs to be an experience in the heart. It needs to come from the heart, or it's nothing. A lifestyle of worship, that's walking with our Lord Jesus Christ every minute and every part of the day. It's not just the songs we sing here, but everything that I do for him needs to be a lifestyle of worship. Worship is to bring pleasure to God. He is pleased with those that worship, that trust his love. The things you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Worship is not part of your life. It is your life. It is your life, and not something that we just attach ourselves to. It is your life. Worship needs to be your life. It needs to be you. When I'm in a place of worship, guess what? I reflect the greatness of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, everything I do all to the glory of God. Everything I do all to the glory of God. What is worship? It's a living sacrifice. I worship him with my life. I worship him with my life. What is worship? Is it right thinking? No. It's right values. Right values. Eddie Baker ministered to us, I think it was 3 weeks ago. And the word that he brought to us as a church was, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? And if I look at a lifestyle of worship, and love. You can't separate those two. You cannot. If I don't love God, I'm not going to worship Him. If I don't worship Him, I'm not going to love Him. I'm not going to love Him. And again, I want to ask you this morning, how deep is your love? Is it a superficial love that sits just on top of the water where the winds and all the distraction come and just dry it out and blow it away? Because if it is that, it will be so. Satan will come and he'll come and steal from you. God wants us in a place of deep waters with Him. Having God's love in our lives is the whole meaning of purpose in our walk with Him. It brings purpose to our walk with Him. We are not called just to be Christians, but we are called to be vessels of God's love, to experience His love firsthand. If we are not loving, we are dying, because we are separated from Him, from the true meaning of our lives. I want to ask you, what is the proof that I'm loving God? What is the proof that I'm loving God and that I'm abiding in Him? I'll carry fruit for Him. If there's no fruit in my life, I guarantee you've got a problem in one of those areas. You haven't entered into a lifestyle of worship and you're not loving God the way He wants you to love Him. Love is something that cannot be taught. Can we teach love? No, you cannot. You cannot. It's something that you need to experience. I can give you 1,000 scriptures this morning on God's love, on worship. But we ourselves need to come into that place and we need to experience it. God's Word. Are you spending time in God's Word? I know in my own life, yes, I get distracted. I don't want to get up early in the morning and spend time in His Word. But it's important. It's through His Word that He speaks to us. It's through His Word that He refreshes us. God's Word is our roadmap for the life ahead, our walk with Him. If you're not spending time in God's Word, let me tell you something. You're going to fall at every obstacle. Every wind that comes along, you're going to fall. I believe with all my heart. I'm speaking to myself here as well. It's something that I've been asking God. That I want to get into that place of rest with Him. And I want to know Him in the season ahead. I don't want my walk to be dry with Him. I don't want it to be out of duty. But I want it to be like Moses said, Lord, when I go from this place, I want You to go with me. I want to know that You're with me. I want to feel You and I want to experience You. Now, I'm that type of person. I know there are others here like that as well. I love God's presence. I love His presence. I love to feel Him and I love to experience Him. And then I know that He's with me. I know that He's with me. Brady mentioned earlier this morning about we were given two beans. Have you planted your beans? Okay, there are some nods. When we got home, We took our beans, and you know we get taught at school, we take the cotton wool, and you put it in between the cotton wool, and you put a bit of water, and you put it on the by the window, the shelf by the window, so I can get the sunlight and all that. And yeah, we did that. And we put water, and we forgot about it. Yeah, and I suddenly realized, spring day's coming up. And our wheel spun into the bedroom. Yeah, and I looked at the two seats. Yo, these things are dried out. Even the cotton wool had started turning. I thought, oh, no. So I watered this thing. But I filled that saucer like this, just in case I forgot. It started to grow. The seed started to swell. The root came out. And the stem was starting to come out of the seed. But like, it stayed like that. So before I went to work in the morning, I'd make sure, oh, it's a lot of water. And I put it where you can get a lot of sun. And it stayed like that. No, man, sure. I'm running out of time yet. So I quickly ran to the back and I got myself a tub. I put some potting soil in there. And I took these seeds out because I don't want to break them. So I pushed them in with my thumb like it, and I closed them up, and I put water on, and I left them outside the window. I put them in a place where they could get a lot of sun, but also where the sun wouldn't cook it. Wow. It wasn't 2-3 days. I went outside. The other thing, it started growing, and I pushed these things deep, but it was this much out of the soil already. I thought, ah, man, that's excellent. And with that, it's the water, it's the soil, it's the sunlight. If I left any part of that out, that seed would have died. It'll grow. But, you know, its growth was stunted. But when I did everything that needed to be done, It started popping. It just started popping, and this thing started growing. So hopefully when I get you next Sunday, spring day, it's about that big. So now what a lot of you are going to do this morning, when you leave here, you're going to wheel spin out, and you're going to have a look to see where your two seeds are. And Bradley said to me, Dad, just remember, if your seeds have died, you can't go and buy two other seeds because you can't get them. They're not the same as the ones you get anywhere else. So we're going to know if yours died and you went and bought a bean plant somewhere, you just planted any old seed, we're going to see. I just want to encourage you with that. A lifestyle of worship. Am I loving God? Am I abiding in His presence? Am I spending time in His Word? And am I spending time in prayer? I know for many of us here, when we talk about prayer, oh, that's difficult. We battle to pray. If you battle to pray, I want to ask you to start praying in the Spirit. I do that. Sometimes when I pray at night, I don't want to become a clanging cymbal when I'm just praying all these things. Often I'll start off in the natural, and I'll just pray a couple of things, but I go into the Spirit, and I pray in the Spirit. And it's not long, and God comes and He meets me in that. People, pray in the Spirit. We don't know what we pray, but let me tell you something. It just does something in the Spirit. And it sets you up. Be a people that are praying in the Spirit. Talk to Him. Are you talking to God? When we're building God's temple, rest comes. Where is God's temple? Yeah. Is Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit in us? When I'm building, and when I'm doing what is right, rest will come, peace will come. God is preparing us for what is coming. It's a spirit of revival. And in that, he wants to revive everyone sitting here today. Like Moses cried out to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not going unless you come with me. Let your walk be like that. Lord, I don't want to do this without you. I don't want to do it without you. But I want to do what you are calling and asking me to do." In Acts 17:28, I love this scripture. "In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being." In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Without him, we're nothing. I can walk a walk without Jesus. Not activating a lifestyle of worship, the love, the prayer, and spending time in his word, it just becomes duty and it becomes a religious walk. God is in control of the results, not me. God is in control of the results, not me. What is my job? My job is faith and obedience. That's all he wants from us. Faith and obedience. Are you willing, are you ready to come to him in faith this morning and be obedient to his word? In his word he says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. God's building you. He's establishing you. And the gates of hell will not prevail. He's raising you up to be a mighty nation, an army for him that will advance his kingdom. But then we come to that place of where living for God begins with resting in him. Amen. Are you ready? Are you willing to let go and let God? Let it become a revelation for you. And I know we've spoken about it this morning, about all those different points. But let it not just be a talk. Let it not be empty for you this morning. My heart and my prayer for you this morning is that it'll become a revelation for you. And when it becomes a revelation for you, things will change in your life. Rest will come. Because it says that God carries me into the fullness of who he is. Amen. Can I pray for you? Let's all stand. Father, we surrender to you today. And where we've done things in our own strength, ask, Lord, that you'd show those areas in our lives, Lord. Where we've taken control and we've tried to manage our walk with you. And Father, it's not about that. It's about resting in you. It's a place, Lord, where you are in complete control of our lives, Lord. Father, I ask today that you would lead us and that you'd guide us, that you'd bring us into that place. I pray and I ask today that we would have a revelation of resting in you. Father, open our eyes to see that and open our ears to hear you when you speak, Lord. And Father, I ask today that you would touch every heart here. Father, that you'd put your finger on every heart. And as you'd place your finger on every heart in this place, that you'd restore the first love. That you'd restore the first love. Father, that you'd revive that love. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Father, I pray your blessings upon us today. Lord, lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Run away. If you need prayer, you can come up to the front and we'll gladly pray for you.